Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, March 13th. I'm Ray Graff. Look, I know it's Friday the 13th, but you have nothing to fear unless you're a member of the Knights Templar. And after all, that was a long time ago. Today, it's all about pies, and what could be less foreboding than that? Our guest is Ellen Gray, owner and operator of a blog entitled No More Mr. Nice Pie. You know, Pie Day is tomorrow. Einstein's 147th birthday is tomorrow. So let's just talk pie because it makes some sort of sense. Give us a call, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Email us if you wish, voxpop@wamc.org with your penetrating pie questions. Voxpop@wamc.org or 800-348-2551. See you after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday. No, it's Food Friday. And tomorrow is Pie Day. And tomorrow's also Einstein's birthday. So we're going to talk pie today with Ellen Gray on this Food Friday. Ellen is a food writer, recipe developer, educator, professional pie whisperer. Her work has appeared in Better Homes and Gardens, Lesser Homes and Gardens, Cruddy Homes and Gardens, Savour, Food 52, Munchies, Jewish Food Society. With a reverence for culinary history and a slightly raised eyebrow toward contemporary food trends, Ellen chronicles her baking calendar on the blog No More Mr. Nice Pie, which is a great place to hang out. Her favorite pie is whatever is in season, and she's outdone herself today. So let's talk pie. The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org if you want to. If you just want to listen to Ellen Gray talk, that's okay too. But the number is 800-348-2551. Ellen Gray, you've done it again.
Ray Graff, I'm so happy to be here. How are you?
Great to have you back. What's new?
What's new? Friday the 13th, which is the eve of March the 14th.
Which is?
Big doings.
Right. And you love this. This is a big holiday for you.
It's a huge holiday. I'm not working, actually, tomorrow because it's a holiday.
Oh, but it's Pi Day with no E. This is Pi. And so if you go to our social media at the station or my X account, you'll see a picture of this. And Ellen has done this pie. Well, first of all, we're not going to cut into it because it's going to the Museum of Pies
we
right after the show.
We are going to cut into it because I brought a knife. I got through the border.
Oh, really?
With my serrated knife.
But it has pie to what? Five decimals?
That's as far as I can.
That's as far as you need to go. And it's also got, I don't know how you did this, Ellen, but there's a picture. It's a cookie. And it's a good likeness of Einstein.
Thank you.
Although some people in the newsroom thought it was me.
That was mentioned as well.
But it's not. It's Einstein, who was just a couple IQ points higher than me.
Last I checked, you were on a par.
I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. You said before we started, you're going to Ireland. Why?
I'm going to Ireland again.
Again?
In late June with a group of pie peeps and pie enthusiasts, and we're going to explore the gorgeous rainforest and countryside of County Cork, and we are going to bake pie, and we are going to go to markets, and we are just going to have a fabulous time.
And how many people are going?
I think there are a dozen.
Wow.
Of us. Yeah.
So, I mean, but Ireland has no special significance in the history of pie, right?
Of course it does.
All right, explain.
Oh, we're supposed to be talking about Pi Day and New York historical desserts.
All right, but we can talk about whatever you want. It's like George Harrison. I'll play whatever you want or I won't play at all if you don't want me to play.
We want you to play.
All right, what do you want?
Ireland, we'll talk in greater detail on my next visit, but it's a wonderful treat of a group of people in a magical place. Lots of four-leaf clovers, lots of little leprechauns. Pie Bird Farm is the woman who started this event.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
And she is a pie maker extraordinaire.
Yeah.
She is just a phenomenal woman, Jen Brodsky. And we are going back with a group of friends to explore.
Now, will you get a chance to go to the Keebler Elves tree at all when you're there?
I've been.
Really?
It's hard to get in there. It's very, very low ceilings.
You know, with all due respect, Ellen Gray, let's talk about Pi Day tomorrow. Enough with this Ireland stuff.
Okay.
All right, what did you bring today?
Today, little drum roll.
Oh, an ancient pie.
An ancient pie. Well, I don't want to say ancient. I mean, I don't know if it went back to the Romans. I don't know where it originated prior to the early 1940s in Manhattan.
Yeah.
There was a woman named Hortense Speer, if you want to pronounce it S-P-E-E-R, but it's spelled S-P-I-E-R. Spire, perhaps.
Fine.
And she had a small restaurant in a brownstone in Manhattan, and she was a superlative pie baker. And she introduced to New Yorkers a pie called Nestle Roll Pie.
Nestle Roll.
Nestle Roll. N-E-S-S-E-L-R-O-D-E.
What does it mean?
Nestle Roll Pie is named for a Russian diplomat, a count. His name was Carl Nestle Roll. Nestle Roll began as a pudding, as many pie fillings often are puddings that are poured into pie shells.
Yes.
Originally, it was a pudding and then a frozen dessert when refrigeration and freezers were available. But it was a beloved dessert in the 1940s and 50s in Manhattan. It was on menus, pretty highfalutin places. Think Waldorf Astoria, perhaps. King of the Sea, which was a big seafood restaurant on the Upper East Side. And it was just a luxurious dessert, a Bavarian cream, and it is heavily doused with rum.
Oh,
it
don't
is
say.
In its original configuration, chestnuts played predominantly. And chestnuts are important because that was a very specific flavor profile, and candied fruits. Chestnuts became a little more elusive, a little more expensive, and it was difficult to, you know, the preparation of this pie became very labor intensive and expensive. And I hate to tell you, but there was jarred candied fruit that you could buy that home bakers and even professional bakers would use in this pie. It was called Raffetto.
Raffetto.
R-A-F-E-T-T-O.
Yeah, okay.
It was imported and also kind of pricey for the times, but they started to eliminate the chestnut component and utilized other things. Let's think about vegetables. What vegetable might share that flavor profile? So that's why it sort of fell out of favor over time.
What vegetable would?
I'm not going to talk about it because, you know, when we spoke of buttermilk, we haven't been able to use that word. So I'm just going to
Now you've
pass
put the,
over
you put down
that.
The gauntlet, and so I'm going to tell you what vegetable I'm tasting.
Well, think of it, you know, really
celery,
doused with lots of sugar syrup.
Yeah,
and
rum, beets. It's a Russian thing, right?
Well, no, but it is, it's a crustiferous vegetable,
A what now? A
crustiferous vegetable. So it's.
What is that?
Well, think of, it's not broccoli.
Oh, no.
All right, so we're moving
it's
on.
It's not kale.
No.
Oh, for God's sake, no.
Oh, stop.
All right.
Just stop right now.
Okay.
All right. So, Nestle Roll Pie is a beloved pie. My father and mother loved Nestle Roll Pie, and they used to have a wonderful restaurant in New York that they went to, and they would have Nestle Roll Pie. So I have a soft spot for
You've it. Had it when you were a child.
I had it. It was prepared at home when it was someone's birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how beloved it was.
My mom loved it. My dad also loved it. I think it was the memories. I don't know that it was the pie itself, but it was the memories.
Now, have you made it since, or is this the first time?
Yeah, no, I have made it since. And I've made, you know, 9-inch size, but for today's purposes, because it's a tough crowd out there. When the show ends and people are waving plates, plates.
It's like the end of the Frankenstein movie. They got the pitchforks and the torches and whatnot.
Just like that.
Yeah.
So we have individual ones today so they can kind of grab and go Friday afternoon
nice
and
you.
All. Yeah.
And you made so many and you said it's labor intensive.
Yeah.
You're making your own pudding or you get the
of
box
course.
Of pudding?
Oh, please.
What?
cut me to the quick. Of course, I made my own pudding.
All right. How do you make pudding?
That's another show.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Should I do a pudding show?
Oh, it'd be wonderful.
Yes. Well, if you've heard some of my shows, it may even be more exciting if we do a pudding show.
I wanted to light the candles on Einstein's pie, and
yes,
you warned me against it.
There's the smoke and fire detector right above you.
All right. So Nesserole pie. And over time, recipes have sort of been tweaked. I did use a chestnut puree in this.
Oh.
But I have to tell you, I was a little underwhelmed with the chestnuts. They just weren't enormously flavorful.
Why don't you make another round? Yeah, time, right?
Yeah, in the car on the way up. Yeah, I was just mortar and pestling those chestnuts. Anyway, there is dark rum in here, so that should get you through the rest of the show.
Well, fine. You know, Ellen Gray, that's a fine time to take a break, and I'll have a drink of pie. 800-348-2551. Pie Day tomorrow, and we're just getting started. If you want to talk pies with the great one, Ellen Gray, do it now. 800-348-2551. Charlie Parker plays, I Eat Pies, What Could Be Better? It's 800-348-2551. Ellen Gray is here, and she made Kesselring pie, named after the nuclear physicist from long ago. And I got to say, it's really, really good. Really good. So there's chestnuts in this, mm-hmm. there's pudding, there's rum, mm-hmm. and what's this thing in the middle?
It's a Bavarian cream, actually.
What's the purple stuff?
That is a macerated cherry.
Oh.
That is cherry that has been dozing in rum.
Oh, that's where the rum comes from.
Yeah, from the fruit.
So I got to say,
fruit gets tipsy.
Now, why did this fall out of favor?
It was expensive. It was labor intensive. And I think that the quality kind of diminished and people recognized that. You know, it was showing up at like Horn and Hard Arts, Luncheonette coffee shop.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
So,
you're such a New Yorker. I don't know any of this
I
stuff.
Am.
You know, I'm a bumpkin from up here. If you tell me about the lunch counter at Woolworths, I could tell you about that.
I could tell you about that too. Yeah.
But anyway, the name of the pie is
Nestle Road, R-O-D-E.
Oh, it's named after a road.
Count Nestle Road.
So was he that fake Russian count who made the rounds down in the city?
I don't think so.
No?
I think he was a bona fide count.
Okay.
But I didn't know him.
You didn't.
So I can't really tell you much
more than...
Well,
he came up with a hell of a pie.
Thank you.
The number here is 800-348-25... What are you doing?
I'm divvying up a little more pie.
Okay.
It's our next pie.
There's another pie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Number here is 800-348-2551. You know what? Let's go to Toronto. I have a feeling this caller might be a ringer because I know you've been to Toronto before, Ellen Gray. Let's go talk to Barbara and find out if you're friends in some way. Barbara, do you know Ellen Gray?
We have met once or twice before.
Uh-huh. I've heard about you. I'll tell you that.
B. Gray in Toronto. My dearest and favorite sister.
You're kidding me.
My only sister.
That's amazing. Well, thanks for calling in. How much is this going to cost you? She's gone.
Come back,
Barbara.
She'll be back. Barbara's an excellent pie maker in her own right, might I add.
You know, I think Barbara was so stunned to be on the air that she's... what happened to Barbara? Mike, is it okay over there in the control room?
I don't know. I know that got scary.
Shall we put her on hold and see if she comes back?
Yeah, she'll come back.
All right, Barbara, listen, you've let us down. 800-348-2551 is the number. What's this other pie?
Okay. This pie is, I want you to taste it and taste the crust. And you mentioned we have a new engineer steering
Mr. Bowen. Yeah, great engineer.
Okay. And working the night shift, perhaps, or the day shift, or overnight?
Afternoon.
Oh, afternoon. All right. There's espresso in this pie.
This is stellar. Oh, my heavens. What's the name of this one?
Well, this pie is I call it the all-nighter because it is espresso in the pie crust. There's super dark chocolate in the filling, almost like a fudge.
I love this pie. You make this up?
This This was a spinoff of days when I was held hostage in a very swanky Italian restaurant, and I was making hotel pans of tiramisu, which I really didn't want to be doing. I wanted to be baking pie. However, tiramisu usually has some chocolate element, lemon,
yeah,
booze, mascarpone cream, which is on the top of this.
I like this better than tiramisu.
I do, too.
I'm not a big, huge fan of tiramisu.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'll eat it, right? There's seaweed in it, right?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Oh, I guess I got some bad ones then. Okay.
Scary.
The number here is 800-348-2551. I love this pie. You, without question, make the best pie crust of anyone who's ever been on this program.
You are a kind friend to say so. There are some really wonderful pie bakers in the world. Oh,
and there are many who are on the show.
Yes.
And you are really good. By the way, going back to the Nestle Road, I know what vegetable the chestnut tastes like.
All right, let's just save it.
Asparagus.
No.
No? Lettuce?
It's not green.
All right, let's go back to your sister. Barbara in Toronto, you're on.
Hey, I'm sorry. I don't know how far along I got in my chastisement of you asking Ellen if she uses boxed pudding.
We didn't hear that at all. But feel free, have at it. Yeah, go ahead.
I did. You're gonna have to. You're gonna have to spend some time making amends for that.
All right.
I'm sure it's fine for other people, but that's them's fighting words.
Yeah. Okay. Tell Ray about our pudding history, if you will.
Oh well, I didn't know there were a lot of. Go ahead, Barbara.
There's a lot of delicious homemade pudding in my family's history, Ray. So you're gonna have to chat that up with my sister. But I did want to know, Ellen.
Yes.
Given that you spend so much time preparing for Ray's show every pie day.
Yeah.
If you weren't making pie for Ray, which I'm saying I know is a joy and a delight for you to do, but if you weren't making pie for Ray on pie day, what would you make just for yourself for pie day?
Just for myself. Well, it's kind of a quirky season, right? Because we're coming out of citrus season, and it's not yet rhubarb season, and it's a little shy before all the beautiful berries, come to town. So, I have to say that I do love lemon, really, really curl your toes, puckery lemon.
Yeah.
Pie, I would say.
Didn't you make a Meyer lemon pie once?
I did, and I could
buddy.
Not get Meyer lemons that were suitable for this visit. So next time.
Well, this is pretty good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
But Barb, I would say, certainly something lemon. I would probably go, burrowing through the freezer to see if I had any stalks of rhubarb that I had squirreled away from last
there
spring. Sour cherry. I mean, those are kind of, greatest hits. But one of the things that always plays a part in what pie I'm making is memory and seasonality. So there are pies that are tethered to events and birthdays and places that I worked certain times of year. So I think that kind of guides me. But I like them all. What I don't really love is sad pie.
What do you mean sad pie?
Do you understand?
Right.
Without
Barbara,
you know,
what I don't have a decoder ring. What the blue blazes does that even mean?
Well, I mean, sad pie might be one that starts with box pudding. I don't know.
You've cut me again. Ow.
Yeah, I think sad pie usually doesn't make whipped cream from scratch, maybe, possibly.
Sad
pie has not spent enough time in the oven. Sad pie is kind of anemically pale. And, there was a lot of conversation about the bottoms of pies due to a very famous British baking program. But the truth is, the bottom of a pie is really important. It is equally important to the middle and the top.
Mm, sad bottom.
Yeah. So that makes me sad. Just leave it in the oven a little longer.
Barbara, how often do you get together with your sister now these days?
Well, now that she's coming to Toronto on the regs, I see her about once a month.
Now, when you get
and I'm really looking forward to that Meyer lemon pie the next time she comes to visit.
When you get together with her, are you exponentially annoying or just times two?
Just times two.
Just times two.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's exponential. There are more of us up here, right?
I don't know.
Her son is up here. Yeah. My kids are up here. So
yeah,
it's a lot.
Goes beyond.
Welcome anytime, Ray.
Well, you know, I don't have my passport, and eventually I'll come up. Hey, Barbara, thanks a lot for the call. Seriously, that was great. 800-348-2551. It's Pi Day with Ellen Gray. And Peter writes in, tell us about pecan pie. Why is it so good? I'd be pleased to partake of your pecan pie.
Oh, he's
what movie?
Pretty funny.
What movie is that?
Harry Met Sally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never saw it.
Meg Ryan.
Right.
I believe so.
All right.
True.
Now, do you talk to your driver when you come up from Jersey, or do you just stay silent most of the time?
I'm usually looking up some minutiae, like what happens to 3.14 after 159. I was looking that up. I just couldn't get any further. You know I am not a mathematician by trade.
Now, that's interesting because, and I've had this conversation with chefs and with bakers and everything else, baking is a science. You must have mathematical skills.
Oof. Well, I have learned how to use a calculator. In days gone by, probably around the time of Nesserol Pi, there were things called abacus.
Yo, remember that? In the old fun drives, we used
and
to use the abacus.
Actually, my sister Barbara has an abacus in Toronto that belonged to my grandparents.
Really?
Yes, she
You're
does.
Kidding me.
I'm not kidding.
Well, yeah. Aren't you too precious? 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Ellen Gray is here. It's Pi Day, and that I tell you what, you've outdone yourself here today. And if you want to see this pie, this beautiful centerpiece pie that she has made, it's on our social media all over the place. The Einstein, how'd you do the Einstein likeness? Do you have one of those molds?
I don't.
Of famous people?
I don't. I not only can I not do math, I'm not really a good freelance artist drawing person.
Yeah.
So I sort of look at something and then I try to kind of.
It's pretty good.
Cut it out with a.
I mean, I initially thought it was Gene Shalit, but it's not. It's clearly Einstein.
Well, the eyebrows could be Shalit, and the mustache maybe, but there's not a movie. There's nothing cinematic about that. Except, do you like his oven mitts?
Oh, the blackberries.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice.
Thank you.
Where'd you get the blackberries at this time of year?
I got them at a green grocer in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're growing down there already, are they?
I don't think so. I don't think they're growing down there already.
Ellen Gray is our guest today. You got a question about pie? We'd love to answer that. It's 800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Somebody writes in, can the public or volunteer stop by the studio for a taste on Food Friday? I'm sorry, that's not. You know what? If you came in at the end of the show while the staff was digging in, you would lose a finger at least, maybe a whole hand, because they'd be all over it. So we're going to say no on that. But if you have a legitimate question, give us a call.
Good idea. And you're still kind of against the torching of the candles.
I think it's a bad idea.
I agree.
I mean, I would get out of work a little earlier if you did it.
Well, I'm just looking out for you.
But on the flip side, it'd be my last day.
Yeah, it might be your last day, and then we've got some friends here who took the time to come in and sit at the board over there.
Yeah, so. And so we don't want, you know what, the sprinklers would go on, it would be a bad deal.
It's like working in a restaurant, you know, when just somebody's cooking something and steps away, like brown butter or caramel. Not that I know anything about that, but that does happen sometimes.
The Kesselring pie, how long did it take you to make this?
Well,
I mean, how long does it take to make pudding? I know there's instant and then there's the kind that you have to cook.
Yeah, right. Well, instant means you just tear open the box and
I've done that. Look,
I'm sure it was delicious.
It was.
Bad pie. But I think that once you've done it a few times, it's a pretty quick process. You know, you just want to heat your liquid and your eggs and sort of get it thick enough. And then there you are.
All right. Now, I'm not being a nitpicker here, and I'm not trying to give you a hard time or needle you in any way. But how could you tell the difference?
You can.
How? It's the same ingredients.
It's not. Here's a good rule of thumb.
All right.
And I think my sister would agree.
I'm sure.
That if the ingredients on the packaging are longer than, let's say, 3 or 4 syllables.
Yeah.
then that's probably not something found in nature.
Why does it have to be found in nature?
Because it tastes better, and it's better for you.
I don't know.
Oh, I think so.
All right, listen, let's go to the phones and see if Ava can straighten this out. Ava, do you like the box pudding, or do you have to make it yourself?
Well, I don't eat much pudding, but if my grandma taught me anything, it was everything has to be homemade.
You're not on my side here. All right, you're on with Ellen Gray. You two chat.
Ava and I are pals.
Go ahead.
Hi, Ava.
Hi, Ellen. I have a question. I'm trying to master a bunch of my fruit pies, and I'm struggling with my peach pie.
Okay.
It always just kind of like falls flat. I know I probably need to use more peaches, but it also just, I don't know if it doesn't have the right consistency.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem quite right. And I'm wondering if you have any tips or tricks.
I do. And you know, if you go to my website, I do have a number of peach pie recipes on there and I kind of talk you through it, but I would say that, you know, peaches are pretty fickle. They can be very juicy, they can be overly ripe, they can be underripe. So you want to work with fruit that has a lot of sugar and has a lot of flavor so that you don't have to add a ton of sugar to it. So you want ripe peaches when you can get them. This is not really the season, but there are frozen peaches that are actually picked and processed in season, and people do often, you know, raise an eyebrow at using frozen fruit. But if you were to use frozen peaches, for instance, if you flavor them with fresh zest, if you flavor them with really good quality spices, you know, cinnamon if you choose, or a little bit of mace if you like. And I also, a really good cheat to enhance, to bump up flavor in pie is a really wonderfully good quality preserve, fruit jam. Not too much sugar.
Not cheating to do that?
It's not cheating because you're not filling the pie plate with that. You're adding a few dollops of a really concentrated, flavorful ingredient. And sometimes that's enough to bump it up. But I would also say that peach pie needs a great deal of time to set up once it comes out of the oven. So if you try and slice it and eat it, you know, shortly after you bake it, that's when you might run into trouble as well.
Ava, what do you think?
Okay. That's good to know. I know I usually am a little too overzealous trying to get a slice right away, but that's super helpful. Yeah. I have a neighbor who makes great peach preserves, so I will definitely try that.
Oh, that's a good neighbor to know. And also, what's your thickener? What do you usually use to thicken your pies?
I typically use cornstarch just because that's always what I've used, especially my number one pie is probably my strawberry rhubarb, and that's what I use in that.
I knew we were friends. Now, one other thing, Ava, when you cut the peaches and then you add your sweetener to your peaches, they're going to exude a ton of liquid. And sometimes if you take away that liquid and you reduce just the liquid on top of the stove, you cook that down and then cool it off before you put it back with the peaches, it'll tame some of those runaway juices.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thanks for the call.
Call again.
Now, listen, I got to ask a question, and this is a legitimate question, all right? We're going to take a break, and then we'll get back to the phones. But this question, you've talked about how peach pies can be difficult because they get too juicy, right? And then you say, you know, frozen peaches are can be quite good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can both agree that the dehydrated potatoes for scalloped or mashed, they're delicious. They're fantastic. Do they do that with fruit?
Well, I think it depends, you know, the source, again, how they are preserved.
But do they make them like
processed.
That?
Peaches or
fruit? Yeah, well, fruit in general.
It's called individually quick frozen. In the restaurant or kitchen trade, they're called IQF.
No, I said dehydrated. That's
No, dehydrated, you've got to bring them back.
You do that with potatoes. It's great.
Yeah. Well.
What about peaches?
I don't know. I feel like I want the freshness of a peach, and when you dehydrate them, you kind of zap them a little bit. They're concentrated flavor. Like you can go buy packages of dehydrated peaches.
You can.
Yeah, you can.
So let's make a pie with that.
Don't think so.
Agree to disagree. 800-348-2551. Ellen Gray is here. Let me tell you something. This is great. I love pie, and she's really good at it. So we'll hang around for another 20 minutes. Dang swing there, Schofield. I always got to get some Schofield in there. John Schofield here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's Food Friday. Ellen Gray is here, and we'll take some emails, and then we'll jump back to the phones. I finished off my little piece of the whatever that other pie was that you made that had the tiramisu and chocolate and...
Yes, and lemon.
What's it called again?
Candied lemon.
Oh, it had lemon?
Yeah, has a little bit of candied lemon in it.
Nice. Dehydrated. Mm-hmm.
No, candied.
Okay, very nice.
Different.
What's the name of this pie?
You need a little bit more because obviously you're a little overtired. This
what?
Is the espresso. This
the espresso
midnight.
Pie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the midnight pie. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Peter wrote in, he's distraught and frankly a little disappointed. You never really did discuss pecan pie.
But you didn't ask for a specific pecan pie.
Right. We'll just move on. Sorry, Peter. Dave and Clarence, cooking with Crisco, cold butter, beef tallow. Can you talk about your preferences and how they differ?
I think they all have their place, and it sort of depends on what you grew up enjoying or working with. I like butter. I like European-style butter. It has
What's
a little bit more butter fat in it. It's really not great. My cardiologist, as I've mentioned, does not approve of that.
You're fit as a fiddle.
Well,
come on. Yeah, you're talking
but,
about.
I just think really good quality European butter. I use unsalted. I like to kind of steer the salt car as
oh,
I'm
you,
driving.
Sometimes it can be too salty then if you use the salted butter?
Well, if you're going to use salted butter, you've got to really tread lightly with adding salt.
You know, beef tallow's in the news, and it's quite
today,
recommended.
Oat Bran's coming back, too.
Oh, really? So we'll be regular, and we'll have clogged arteries.
Yeah.
Splendid. Sam writes in, I homemade a key lime pie last week, and the filling came out great, but the crust was almost gummy or candy-like. I used graham crackers, granulated sugar, and butter.
Yeah.
Sam, what we call that is a sad pie. I baked it briefly and then let it cool before putting the filling in and baking that for a few more minutes. How do I fix the crust?
Well, it might have been a butter to graham cracker ratio. And I would recommend also you take a peek on the website because I have some crumb crusts in there that might help. The problem is that not every graham cracker is created equally.
Oh,
and so some may be drier than others. Some may require more butter, some a little bit less. It sounds to me one other, troubleshooting tip might be once the crust is baked, you let it cool before you cool it completely before you add the filling. And I don't know, it just sounds like maybe there was too much butter happening in there.
It's too much butter.
Yeah.
No, let me just go back a step
Please,
here.
Please, do.
There's only one brand of graham crackers, right?
Not necessarily.
Well,
times have changed.
Where are you finding these luxury graham
these
crackers?
These are not necessarily luxury graham crackers. The best graham crackers, I tell you, I work for a husband and wife team in South Orange, New Jersey, and they make just the most magnificent, from scratch, no boxes, no mixes, graham crackers.
Really?
Honey graham crackers are delicious, yeah.
Our guest today is Ellen Gray, and she's been a good sport for most of the time. The number here is 800-348-2551. One more email, and then we'll jump back to the phone. What are you cutting? Oh, you're cutting the beautiful...
I thought
you were taking that and putting it into a museum.
I barely brushed his shoulder. He's never even going to know
what's
that
in
happened.
That. It looks like you got peaches in that thing
peaches.
And some rhubarbs I see a blueberry. What's in...
That's a blackberry.
Okay. One more email, and then we'll go back to the phones with Ellen Gray. This is from Janet. Oh, this is for me. Would you be so kind as to divulge the name and artist of the closing theme? I listen every day and adore the music along with the content. Count Basie. The closing theme I put in years ago, Count Basie. It's called Slewfoot, S-L-E-W, Foot. It's a Neil Hefti composition from the late 50s. Album is called Basie Plays Hefti. Awesome, awesome. One of my top five records of all time.
Timeless.
Do you know the Basie?
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to Stanfordville. Johanna's on. Johanna, you're on with Ellen Gray.
Oh, hi there. It's so nice to see this program. You're this program.
Hi
it brings
there.
Back wonderful, wonderful, hi, childhood memories.
Cool.
Oh, that's great.
So what's up?
Yes. Every time my mother would bake a pie, she would always have extra dough somewhere. And my brother and I would get the extra dough and have these tiny little pie plates.
Mm-hmm.
And being as small as we were, four, five, six, we had the most loved and handled dough you have ever seen. It was handled so well that it was gray by the time it got to the pie plate.
That's
as
great.
Only little kids can do.
As only.
But it's, yes, little kids. And it just gave us such joy to be able to do that. And to, still today, I'm 80 years old. Making pies is one of my favorite things.
So great.
So I really, really appreciate the show, and I'm so glad to be able to be around to listen to it. Thank you.
We're glad
so
that you
much.
Came on the show. Thank you, Johanna. That's nice. 800-348-2551 is the number. So what is this pie that you cut?
This is an apple blackberry.
Oh, I love
and
that.
Mr. Einstein, our birthday boy, he actually was fond of apple pie.
How do you know that?
I know people.
You know, I mean.
Or Google.
Really? Is that what she did? She Googled, huh?
Actually, there are reams of minutiae about the food world that you can really get lost in.
He discovered that if you made one pie,
yes.
and you made an identical pie on the other side of the universe, and you cut one,
what happened?
It would also be cut. It was spooky action at a distance. Did you know that? It's quantum physics. He was against it at first, but then when the pies came out, let's go to, oh, here's an email, by
irrational.
The way.
Okay.
Take, what? Excuse me?
An irrational number.
Very good. Very good. Rob in Round Lake says, Ray, you can get really good dehydrated peaches in the bulk section of your local food co-op, but they're pretty crumbly. Flavor is intense, but I'm not sure how well they'd hydrate.
Thank you. See?
Thank you, Rob.
We're all speaking the same language here.
You know what? I'm glad someone is on my side, because a lot of people who call in, you have your sister call in, you got Johanna call, everybody's on your side. Ava called in. Susan is in Schenectady. Susan, are you on my side?
Oh, I'm on. Yes. Thank you for
thank
taking
you.
My call. Loving it. Loving it. It's pie season for sure.
Yep.
I have a comment. Ray, for goodness sake, you're a connoisseur of so many things. I've been listening to you for maybe 50 years.
Yeah.
And you love music and bourbon and, you know, your whiskeys, whatever.
Yes.
And you're fabulous. And you've got to make rich custard pudding.
Oh,
thank you, Susan.
And milk and a little cream. I had a throat disorder that I had surgery for. I had to eat soft food. Boy, was I lucky, because I went to, can I say the title of the book, a cookbook?
Of course,
no?
Of
yes.
course.
The Joy of Cooking, the old one, rich custard. Look
yes.
at the recipe. I almost
Perfect.
Passed out making it.
So what you're saying, Susan,
I
is
mean, when I take
the recipe in The
so
Joy
good.
Of Cooking is actually better than box pudding, is what you're saying?
You're joshing. Yeah.
You know, I just try
you're
to give Ellen Gray a hard time. You know, just I'm playing along
no.
here. Okay, all right.
Thank you, Susan.
The other thing is, we all love strawberry rhubarb, right?
Yes.
Have you ever made raspberry rhubarb?
Yes.
Oh.
Ah. Susan, that is just, that's a dream of a
pie. Is
it
really good?
It's so good.
I made it for a brother-in-law who wasn't all that fond of me.
Hmm.
And he said, this is the best pie I ever had.
Oh, Susan, what a waste.
Well, maybe they got along after that.
I don't know. Could have brought it here. We would have enjoyed it.
All right, Susan. Well, that was a great call, even though that you agreed with Ellen. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. While we're on the topic of strawberry rhubarb pie, Deborah writes in, I've tried to make it, but it came out very watery, even using cornstarch. Any tips?
Yeah. Rhubarb is a tough customer, but I think maybe go back and try again. You know, sometimes rhubarb, the tender stalks, the early stalks of rhubarb might work nicely for you. You could roast them first in the oven a little bit with a tiny bit of sugar or honey and maybe some orange zest, and let them cook down just a tiny bit. And then you could let them cool and combine them with your strawberries or raspberries.
You got to be careful with the rhubarb, though, because part of that is poisonous.
Well, you know that we often would say in commercial kitchens that when we were preparing rhubarb pie that, you know, we would save the leaves
for the customers you
hated
the most.
Our very favorite.
Yes.
Folks.
Well, that's inside story that we probably shouldn't talk about on the radio, but you've done it already. And remember, it's Ellen Gray, G-R-A-Y. Let's go to Chris in Branford, Connecticut. Chris, you're on.
Hi, thank you very much. Everybody have a groovy weekend.
You too.
Speaking of things that you like growing up, I really like cheese with pie.
Me too. Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I'll ask for it, and people look at me like I'm nuts, but they do anyway. how do you pair? Do you pair cheeses with pie?
You can, but I have to tell you, Chris, that my dad was just like the quintessential pie and cheese. He also was a huge fan of pie for breakfast, and there was nothing better than apple pie with sharp cheddar. I mean, you could certainly explore. There are all kinds of cheese combinations that would be wonderful with various seasonal fruit, but, you know, you don't want to get all wacky with it. It's not a charcuterie board that you're crafting. It's just like a really lovely piece of pie and a delicious cheese that you enjoy.
And so, Chris, what's just cheddar? What's your favorite cheese with pie?
Yeah, sharp cheddar. Yeah.
I mean,
apple or blueberry or, you know.
Yeah,
pumpkin,
I mean, you could branch beyond the cheddar, but, you know, if you enjoy that.
We love it in our house. I think it's a Northeast thing, right?
I think it is.
Yeah. All right, Chris, thanks a lot. What about Gruyere?
Love Gruyere.
What about we find the right... By the way, this apple blackberry pie, spectacular.
Thank you.
And the crust, it's a crumbly crust on the top.
You like that.
The graham cracker.
That's
right?
Not graham cracker.
Yeah.
No, it's a streusel. It's a crumble topping, you know, a little bit of butter. I use a whole wheat pastry flour in that, so maybe it's a little different texture.
Beautiful.
Comté cheese is delicious. We love that.
What is that?
Comté. It's kind of... it would be along the lines of a Gruyere, maybe like a first cousin.
Ah.
French.
Okay.
Mild but delicious. Has a little nuttiness to it.
Okay. And so 800-348-2551. Ava said she got disconnected, and she just wanted to ask where to find the recipe for the espresso pie.
Oh, for the espresso pie.
Yeah. Is that your own secret recipe?
That is a secret recipe, but you know what? I will put it up on the website.
Oh, that's very kind.
Okay.
All right, back to the phones we go, and it's Robert in Catskill. Robert, you're on.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
My wife has serious gluten-free issues, and she loves to make pie.
Mm-hmm.
Her crust tend to come out kind of dry.
Mm.
Do you have any suggestions as to maybe a certain gluten-free flour combination? Or any recommendations on how to make it moist?
Yeah. You know, there are so many good options now with gluten-free flour blends. I think you have to sort of try them out until you find the one that you like. And there's a lot written about it now in just the preparation of the dough and how you handle it. And I think, I think there's some, you know, specialty websites that deal with gluten-free doughs. I don't know if it's the handling or if it's the components. So I think maybe perhaps go back and take a look at, you know, to compare with some other recipes other than the one she's using, or maybe try a different flour blend. You can also make your own gluten-free flour blend.
You know, Robert, so your wife will have no gluten at all, or can she have a little bit?
Well, it's actually a little more complicated than that. She can't do cornstarch or potato starch.
All right, okay.
So a lot of the pre-mixed ones don't work. So she keeps trying to invent her own combination.
Oh, that's tricky. Are there any packaged cookies, gluten-free cookies that align with her restrictions? Because I would maybe start there.
If there are, I haven't. Yeah, that's a great suggestion. I haven't found any for her.
Okay.
I was hoping you might have a source or just, you know, experience in this realm.
Yeah, if you send me an email, I will write back to you.
And is your email on the website?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's nomoremrnicepie.com.
Gmail.com.
Oh, at Gmail.
Okay. That's great.
Robert, by the way, Amy Halloran might have some suggestions for some different grains that'll be better. She'll be on in a few weeks, I think early April.
She's your girl.
Yep.
She
so
would
thank
know.
You. Yeah. Let's go to Jody in Glenmont. Jody, hello.
Hi there. I have a solution, well, a possible solution for the lady that had trouble with the graham cracker crust.
Yeah.
I've been making a graham cracker crust recipe since I was in high school, years ago, and it always called for 2 packages of graham crackers. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I used the 2 packages, and the crust just felt wrong.
Yeah.
Turns out with shrinkflation, the box of graham crackers were no longer 16 ounces.
Correct.
They were 14 ounces.
Very true.
Shrinkflation.
Yeah.
Bah!
Jody, you are correct. And so it's really important to weigh your ingredients, because even though it might have been 16 crackers a while back, the 16 cracker the weight might be different. A great point.
I just wanted to offer that information.
Thanks, Jody, and have a great weekend. We appreciate it. Let's zip on over to the Honest Weight Food Co-op, and it's Bonnie. Hello, Bonnie. You're on.
Thank you so much. I can't get out of the car. This is so interesting. I just had I'm really serious. I've been in the parking lot for 15 minutes. I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments. First of all, I was so touched when you talked about apple pie and cheese, because I'm 79. My dad, you know, born in 1915. That was his favorite breakfast also.
Yes.
Apple pie with a sharp cheddar cheese, an old New England Yankee.
Yeah.
Loved it. Yeah. And so it's just like great memory. And also my mother was a phenomenal pie baker, and she always thickened with a little flour, not cornstarch.
Yeah.
And her pies were fabulous.
Yeah.
And always
baker.
Sprinkled a little sugar, and would always say the secret to great apple pie was lots of cinnamon.
all very good.
You inspired me to maybe go back and start baking pies again. Thank
oh,
you.
I'm
You've
so
got
happy.
To do it.
That's great. Thanks, Bonnie.
You know what, Bonnie? I'm going to go back to making pies again, too. What? Well, thank you for the call. Have a great weekend. 800, it's too late for calls now. We only have a minute left.
Okay.
So somebody, I'll call her my wife,
says,
you can tell when a baked good is made with love.
So true.
Come on.
So
How is
true.
That empirically possible to prove?
I think it's just the care. And I think pie making is a very tactile experience. You're touching things and you're rolling doughs and you're peeling fruit, and you can either do it with attention to detail and love, or you can do it like a machine.
If you love them that much, why are you going to eat it? Why kill the thing you love the most? Why not make pies and just leave them on a shelf forever?
I can't answer that. Monday, is it Medical Monday? That
yes.
might be the question for Medical Monday.
Well, this was an interesting show today. Ellen Gray, how do people find you? Hey, it's over. Don't worry, you made it. How do people find you online, my friend?
No More Mr. Nice Pie is on Instagram, is on Facebook. You can go to the website, nomoremrnicepie.com. And if you do write to me, I will write back.
All right. That was one for the books. Support comes from the Devlin Inn and Suites, Main Street, Lake Placid, welcoming families, athletes, and groups to the historic Olympic Village with Adirondack Mountain views and dog-friendly accommodations. TheDevlinNY.com to learn more. Waymo, working to build a future of safe, accessible transportation through autonomous vehicle technology designed to expand options for people unable to drive. More at Waymo.com. And Berkshire Agricultural Ventures, a community nonprofit supporting local farms and strengthening the food system. Here for our farmers, BerkshireAgVentures.org. Thanks again to the great Ellen Gray for being here today. Thank you for listening. Great calls, great emails. Thanks to Mike Bowen, our engineer. It's pie time, buddy. You got to get over here. Jim Mountier screened the calls. You got to come over for some pie, too. Everybody gets pie. We'll see you Monday.